Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. Tonight's in-studio guests are three quarters of Michigan's soulful original music group, James Neary and the Bevy Blue, a band on the rise who are building a steady fan base in the Great Lakes area. The quartet will be performing on Saturday, August 19th at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan. And tonight in-studio are guitarist Sammy Lane Tuthill, bassist Jeff Topp, and vocalist-songwriter James Neary. Tonight I'll chat with the guys about their new EP, their career thus far, and James will even do a little live performing. We'll check out a song or two from that new EP as well. If you love your rock and roll marinated in blues and seasoned with some S-O-U-L soul, well, you'll be wise to stick around. James Neary and the boys coming up after your headlines here. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and tonight's show, as always, is about music and music makers. In studio with me, I've got Sammy Lane Tuthill, Jeff Topp, and James Neary. It's three quarters of the James Neary and the Bevy Blue Band. We'll be talking about their career. We'll be talking about the new EP, a big show coming up on August 19th at Acorn Theater. And without any further ado, let's get into meeting the guys. Sammy, Jeff, James, thank you so much for being here, and welcome.
Thanks for having us.
I'm glad you got here safe and sound with all the construction. And
GPS took us somewhere else, but we made it.
Now, you guys have music, as I described it, it's rock and roll, but it's got blues and it's got a lot of soul in it, a lot of R&B influence.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how long James Neary and the Bevy Blue has been together with the lineup you have, which is the three of you along with Dakota Morgan on drums, who's missing in action here today.
Yep, he's got to work tonight, but... as a band, I think we've been a little shy of a year now. It's been like 8 months, something like that.
We started last year around October, September. Me, James, and Dakota kind of just noodling around a little bit and talking about it. Mm-hmm. But we really didn't really hit it hard until late December, early January when Jeff joined up with us. So it's kind of just been all this year up till now and been working on recording and kind of getting our chops together so that we can...
Now, is this the first EP, Hello, My Name is James Neary?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about the name, the Bevy Blue.
Well, strictly from a definition standpoint, Bevy is just a gathering.
A gathering,
like,
correct.
Yeah, most associated with just, like, people getting together. But specifically, I tend to write kind of, like, moody, sad songs, like, rooted in, you know, something negative that has happened and... You know, it just kind of.
Like, are you like Johnny Marr of the new generation, then, or what?
I don't want to like tout anything big.
Okay.
I just write sad songs, and just thought it was kind of fitting as a blues band. We kind of like skirt the line of, you know, blues and alternative and rock and roll, and you know we have a big collective group of influences all the way from, you know, like. Hyper space arena rock into like jam bands, like everything in between. We enjoy what we enjoy, and influences from every little thing tend to pop up now and then.
So depending on your mood, your music changes with you then. So one show may not be the same as the next show.
Well, I'd like to think we have a cohesive sound, but I'd be lying if I said we weren't a little all over the place in terms of what we want to like incorporate musically.
There's a lot of younger bands that are embracing that kind of mindset.
Yeah.
Every night's a little different. Are you jazz influenced at all?
I enjoy jazz. I'm not skilled enough to be a jazz guitar player, but I very much enjoy like the moodiness and like the atmosphere that just sheer instrumentation can provide. So I appreciate it, but I can't say that I play jazz.
Okay. You've been together a year with the group, but you were talking off air about playing some solo stuff. How long have you been playing, James? And when did you start writing? And
so I've been a singer-songwriter with air quotes professionally. Since about 2014, I won the 2013 Acorn Singer Songwriter Contest, and the prize for that was some studio time at a really awesome studio up in Burr Ridge called Lennon's Den or it was Lennon's Den, is now the Jam Lab in a new location.
So you work with Colin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jim, Jim's in here all the time, his dad.
Beautiful.
We've
yes.
been friends for like 35, 40 years.
Oh, and man, that's
I've
awesome.
Been up in the Jam Lab and worked with Colin.
So good.
I knew him and he was a little ankle biter. So yeah, Colin does great, great, great work.
Yeah, that the first solo album that I put out felt super strongly about it. I, you know, was ready to use the momentum from that to kind of propel and carve a career for myself. And
so how old were you at that point?
2013, 2014, I was 23, actually.
Okay. Yep. Was that your first, like, batch of songs that you wrote?
Not the first batch. It was, it was the first full release. I had an EP a long time ago, like, when I was, like, in my teens, just kind of slapped together in a church. And I felt strongly about those songs, but I knew there was something else. So I just kept writing, kept being diligent. And finally, after winning that contest, I had the opportunity to put a good chunk of like my back catalog. You know, I was able to pick and choose and be like, okay, mm-hmm. these songs are the ones I want people to hear. And since that, the writing's been, you know, of course, as a writer, it just keeps happening.
But right.
With these guys, specifically in the band setting, Sam will come up and, you know, oh, hey, I wrote this riff last night, or, you know, oh, I was digging through a notebook and I found this old song that I wrote, and, you know, his guitar influence will, you know, spark new mm-hmm. lyrical, like, engines.
Now, did you guys meet because of the Acorn? Because, Sam, you were working at the Acorn for a while.
Yeah, I guess the story goes I was running the open mic program there for about 2 years, maybe a little longer, and James at that time had already won the singer-songwriter competition and was already kind of a local favorite at the open mics. So as I started organizing those events, I got to know James a little better because he would host sometimes or just perform. And of course, I was naturally drawn to him. And I think for about a year and a half, maybe, I kind of bugged him about us playing together.
Yep.
He was always kind of busy, but was always polite about it and mm-hmm. seemed like eventually we'll get together and we'll jam. And then I was also producing shows over at the Acorn Theater, and I produce other shows in the area, and we were bringing in Matt Schofield, who's a British blues Hall of Famer, big blues rock guy, kind of got that Stevie Ray Vaughan kind of vibe. Okay. Anyways, we had James open the show, and he asked me actually to sit in on a track with him, mm-hmm. and that was the first time he played, was in front of an audience.
Did some kind of chemistry happen that night?
There was definitely a big vibe, like a good response from the crowd, and it kind of raised her eyebrows like, why don't we do this more often? I've been telling you. And
yep.
you know, and so I think he finally at that point was like, okay, yeah, I've been, his vision for a band was kind of weighing on his shoulders, and he really, really wanted to kind of start pursuing it, and then he reached out.
So this is the first time it's been a band project for you, James. You were always on your own.
Yep. At least in context of like songs that I write. I've been in a couple of cover bands, but never like spearheading original music in terms of a band. So,
and so that night you and Sammy are on stage, it was something that clicked and you thought, maybe this is the direction.
It felt good.
Okay. And Dakota comes on board. Now, how did Dakota fit in? And then we're going to get to Jeff.
Well, Dakota and I have been friends since like high school. He and I bumped into each other, and he's always been exactly a drummer, like patting on his legs all the time, like hyper, you know, just always beats, always new ideas. And, you know, we've been wanting to start some kind of project together ever since we became friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, finally, you know, just kind of felt right and was like, hey, Dakota, you want to like seriously start doing a band? And he was like, yeah. And then, you know, reached out to Sam and was like, hey, Sam, you want to like do this band thing? And I was like, yeah.
So was it a trio at first or did Jeff come in right away?
It was definitely a trio for about 2 or 3 months. We were just kind of rehearsing maybe once a week, every two weeks, just at Dakota's house, trying to throw stuff together. There were times where James brought a bass over and he was toying around on a bass. Using loop pedals and things and just trying to see what we could do between the three of us. Because we had a vibe between the three of us, but we kind of knew that there
was... You got to get a bass player.
It just seemed like that's what we were missing. And then basically the moment Jeff came into the band, like had the opportunity, it was just like perfect right off the bat, and he just kind of took it to a whole different
Jeff
level.
Did you know these guys before then, or
I had run into James for the first time when he was a teen, and I was playing out. We ran into, I mean, it was kind of a bad show, too. Nobody there. But, you know, this kid comes up, and he had the big hair at the time, and, yep. and he just starts, it's probably the same guitar, too. He's playing this guitar, and this voice comes out of this kid, and from the first time I heard it, I was like, wow, that's incredible. Years go by, and I run into him at a different, you know, on a different circumstance, playing music, and you know, we had another moment of just like, wow, there's something here, you know? Mm-hmm. So at that point, I decided to just say, if you ever need me for something, you know, at least ask me. Give me the opportunity, you okay. know? And several years later, he did.
Yeah.
And I at first said, no, I'm in several other projects, honestly.
Please ask me. No.
Yeah.
Well, he's a very busy guy.
Yeah. Okay. I try to do this for a living. Sigh. My goodness. But to have two or three things going and then be asked again to do another startup is a difficult request, you mm-hmm. know, because you're going to invest a lot of time for a lot of months, at least for a lot of months, making zero money, right. putting a lot of time in for nothing. But I told him I'd jam with him one time. And from the very first notes with just me and the drummer, I just felt at home and couldn't say no anymore.
Now, is this your full-time gig?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So this is a full-time project for all of you, then. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're recording now, and you're playing out some big rooms,
yeah.
it sounds like. You're opening up. You were going to open up for Devin Allman.
We were.
Devin mm-hmm. was on the show right before that. And, yeah. of course, his dad, Greg, passed away. And is that yeah. what canceled that show?
Yes. Yeah. That, mm-hmm. that show was actually on Father's Day. So.
Oh, yeah. That would have been rough.
Like, yeah. Absolutely. Like.
So the new date is... August 19th. Now, is that a headline date, or are you opening yep. again? Or
no, yeah, it's our show.
Like,
okay,
no, well, we're headlining the show, and we have an opener. It's okay. Johnny Edwards and Company, and they're the promoter of the show was a promoter who I had worked with before last summer. He booked me for a summer jazz and blues festival, and okay. he liked working with me. He knew some of my experience from the Acorn, and he was eager to kind of. Try booking at the Acorn because the mm-hmm. Acorn is a nonprofit venue that people can rent and put on shows.
Right.
And so when he heard our group and our EP, he was like, I want to book you guys, and that'll be my first time producing there. So he threw the show together, asked us to play, and we said, sure. It's kind of home base for us in terms of we got a good fan base there because of all mm-hmm. the work James has done over mm-hmm. the years.
Now, are you all from the Three Oaks area?
Not really. I am the only one who lives in Three Oaks.
Okay.
Based in Michigan. They're all actually out of LaPorte.
Yep, we're LaPorte.
Oh, okay.
So we do a lot
of... you're Hoosiers.
We're yep. Hoosiers.
Okay. I've been thinking you're Michigan guys. So you're Michiana.
Yeah.
Michiana.
Okay.
Yeah. The region.
Collectively.
And right. I was born in Indiana, too, so technically I am a Hoosier.
You're a Hoosier right. as well. Yeah, get on this side of the fence.
Well, let's give the listeners something to listen to. Well, we've been talking about the music. Let's let the music do the talking now. What do you want to play for us?
Well, I guess I can play the first track off of our EP. We'll play this live. This is a song called Say You Will.
All right. James Neary with us on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Pardon me, I can see you. And God, are you lonely? I was home, wasting daylight, feeling ain't right, being lonely. Now I know it's not much right before me. Please don't ignore me before you go. Oh, before you go, before you go. Read my eyes, read me. I'm so ready for my heart. was nice to meet you. My one and only. I was home chasing daylight, feeling it right, being lonely. Now I know it's not much, I might be mourning, senselessly hoping before you go. And I know that you know that I know that you know. Read my eyes, read it. Oh, I've been ready for my heart beating steady. Oh, but please say you will. Pardon me every time I see you. Oh God, I'm so lonely. Oh, I've been ready for my heart beating steady. Oh, but please say you will. Oh, I'm so unprepared and I'm always so scared. Oh, but please say.
James Neary, live on the air at the Lakeshore Studios. This is Midwest Beat, if you just tuned in. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. James has been making music now for a number of years, and I was just looking on the website, James, and not only did you win the singer-songwriter at the Acorn Theater, but the Hoosier Star last year. What was that all about?
Boy, howdy. Hoosier Star, Hoosier Star was a ton of fun. My buddy Mike Green kind of goaded me into doing it that year because I had auditioned once.
Where is it held?
The auditions were at the LaPorte Little Theater, and then the finals were at the Civic.
Okay.
And I auditioned once when I was still in high school and got the, you know, try again next year. So I was like, okay, whatever. Maybe, you know, not going to try that route for a minute. And then my buddy Mike auditioned and was like, dude, you need to try. So I went. I tried out. And it was like instantly like, okay, you know, we're setting you up for the finals. We'll get you ready, like after the results came in, of course. And I got the opportunity to sing Queen's Somebody to Love, but backed by the LaPorte County Symphony.
Oh, wow.
And it was just this massive.
Did you tape that, I hope?
Someone did.
So it's out there somewhere?
I was really surprised. There was only like one like cell phone camera footage that I could find, and halfway through it went from portrait to landscape, so there was no like
sideways.
Good way.
Okay.
But I'm doing it again this year. Since I won last year, they invited me back, so I'm gonna make sure there's a good one of at least this time around. Second time I'm doing it, so hopefully it's better. But we'll see how that goes. But the whole process was incredible. You know, working with the orchestra was, you know, I hadn't even like in my wildest dreams thought that I would be singing in front of a full orchestra. And then, you know, the night of, just like the chemistry in the room was palpable and everything just, oh, it was so good. that's really all I could say about it, is it was a once in a lifetime beautiful musical experience that I'm lucky to have again.
Now, when you were just singing Say You Will, I every once in a while, I would flash on like Levon Helm and the band. Kind of like when you like I Shall Be Released era band music. And I'm thinking, wow, that's so unique. Who influences you as far as your not only your writing, but your vocal style, your guitar style, your writing style?
Well,
you're hard to nail down.
I'll take that. Thank you. When I started writing, I had a confidant in high school. His name was Ryan. And he was the first person I bumped into that was a real, like, songwriter. Every like, measure of the word. You know, we'd hang out after school, and it was always, you know, oh, I got this new song. Oh, I'm about to record this EP. And, you know, he sort of, like, gave me the bug to start writing. And ever since then, just kind of as someone who appreciates music, every time I hear something, I'm like, why? Why was that so impactful? Or why is that so cool? Or, you know, always trying to get to, like, the bottom of it. And I think it just kind of comes out in terms of, you know, whatever message I'm trying to deliver. And I don't entirely remember how the writing for this one started. I think it was just like, do we have the chords first or do we have the lyrics first? I think we had chords first.
We had chords first. We were just all noodling around and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At band practice, it's serendipitous. So I think we were just like playing through those. And I was like, hold on. I put these guys through so much crap. Because we'll find chords that work for a song that I've got like an idea for, and I'll be like, okay, just keep playing that, and it'll be like 15 minutes of just like that same four chord turnaround of just 15 minutes of that, and I know they're probably hating it, but I'm with the notebook and I'm just like trying.
Yeah, it's not that painful for us to just jam on some chords. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We're fine with that.
All right. If you just tuned in, this is Midwest Beat. In studio with us, James Neary with the guitar and the voice that you're hearing tonight. Also, Jeff Topp, the bass player of the band, Sammy Lane Tuttle. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, Sammy Lane Tuthill. Yeah.
Tuthill, okay. And we have got some... We're going to play something off the studio recording in just a bit, but... Again, we're talking influences here. Let's talk a little bit with Jeff. We didn't get too much background on you. Tell us a little more about you. You said you were involved in several projects, and suddenly this one came to fruition.
Yeah. I do a country music cover band that regionally tours called Hoosier Highway.
Okay.
I'm the bass player for
that
band.
I'm familiar with that.
Been doing that for 4 years or so, and a great group of guys. Really fun. I still do that. And I have a band of my own that I front called Jeff Topp Band, and that's what I write into my own music that I write.
Now, you guys as a group here are writing. Mm-hmm. What makes a song that you may bring in a Jeff Topp Band song versus a James Neary and Bevy Blue song?
Well, it's really like I've contributed a bass line to one of the tunes, and what it really came down to was, hey guys, I like this bass line. If you don't use it, I'm going to use it.
Right.
And so it's really a matter of who runs with the idea.
Okay.
You know, so if I feel like an idea that I have is better suited for James, I'm absolutely 100% ready to give that to James.
Okay. You know?
But if it's mine, it's mine.
So are you recording with your Jeff Topp Band?
Yes. I'm affiliated with a studio called Studio 78 in LaPorte, Indiana. And I have my own project studio at home. And
we'll have to have you back and bring some of your stuff in, too, then.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
This would be great. So you are keeping quite busy, then. You are a working musician,
to say the least.
You have to
have a few eggs in a few different baskets. And
well, Hoosier Highway plays out a lot.
Yes.
You do a lot of the summer stuff, a lot of
yes.
fests and fundraisers, I see, at yes. VFW halls and stuff for the veterans groups and things.
Yep. And through... through the winter months, we do a lot of touring Michigan, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
We go as far as Minnesota, and we have a casino out there that we do for 8 days. And wow. It keeps me busy, and, you know, like I said, that's why I said no. I wasn't sure if I could handle the workload. But these guys have been pretty easy on me, and they're diligent and hardworking, and they make great music. So it's hard to say no to something like that, you know, because it doesn't fall in your lap like that ever, ever, never.
Well, Sammy, what about you as far as your musical background? You've been in the business side of things quite a bit through the Acorn and doing your own productions and other venues. Vegetable Buddies? Is that one of the rooms you're doing?
Yeah, Vegetable Buddies.
That is the strangest name for a live music venue.
Vegetable Buddies has actually been around for years. It was a big blues venue in the 60s and 70s in South Bend.
Vegetable Buddies?
As Vegetable Buddies.
I've never heard of that
Big names
before.
Like Buddy Guy were there, Corky Siegel stopped through there.
Wow.
A number of other big acts. And then for whatever reason, they closed down for 2-3 decades. And then recently, it's just been, they just had their 1-year anniversary there.
That
the
is
new
the strangest
owner.
Name. When you first reached out to me, said, oh, "I'm doing veg. I thought you were doing a children's show." That's what it sounded like to me. Like, okay, yeah. he's doing children's music now.
People think it's like just a vegan restaurant, but it's like a music venue first, bar, and has an awesome restaurant too.
So. Vegan restaurant?
No, not at all.
A full restaurant.
They just brought the name back because of the, wow. the history, and they wanted to kind of tap back into that old crowd that. It's kind of, you know, there's a music scene kind of growing in South Bend, and I mm-hmm. think there's an old generation that used to be a part of a music scene, and they're starting to,
retired now and have some idle money
and time. The old generation
and
new generation are kind of starting to blend, and I think you see that at Vegetable Buddies. You kind of get both.
I got to come out there. That's just, the name alone will attract me out there.
It's a cool scene.
Sammy, musically, what's your background?
So, I've been in various groups with friends throughout the years, but I never took music very seriously. I just always had a passion for it. I give most of my music credit to my dad, who just, as a little kid, would just force-feed Pink Floyd and The Band, like you mentioned mm-hmm. before, bands like that to me all the time, and just always constantly being like, hey, listen to this solo, and like singing it to me. So like,
was he a musician himself?
He wasn't. He was just
a music fan.
Just a big music fan, went to every show you could think of, bothered me all the time with all the great experiences he had that I didn't get to have, you know. So he just kind of put it in my brain that music is cool, and that's what I want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I got older, one of my older brothers had a guitar, so I was always gravitated towards his guitar, and I'd play it when he wasn't around. Fast forward to...
That reminds me of the Stevie and Jimmy Ray.
There you go.
Or Stevie Ray and Jimmy Vaughn, I should say, story. He would always take the guitar when he wasn't there and noodle with it.
Sneak around.
I mean, so I hear a lot of that story. It's a lot of people seem to do that, a lot of siblings.
Yeah, luckily my brother never really could tell that I was playing it. I don't think he played very much himself. But okay. So I played loosely off and on for years. But when I got to college, I got really serious about it and wanted to really pursue it. And I went to Indiana University, where they have a really good music school.
Mm-hmm.
And I took some private lessons with... a master's student there who was in the classical program from Columbia. So I kind of just totally went from the psychedelic Pink Floyd world to I want to play classical guitar and
like
finger
Segovia
style.
Like Segovia kind of stuff?
A little bit. I mean, kind of a little bit of everything, really.
Okay.
He was just showing... It was mainly I was digesting the techniques, not so much like...
Now, were you playing nylon string?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Nylon strings. And I was doing that for years, and I moved out west and was playing... kind of solo gigs out on wineries in the wine country in Columbia Valley in the state of Washington. And when I moved to Three Oaks and I got the job at the Acorn, everyone knew me as just like the classical guitarist who would host the open mics. And then it wasn't really till I played with James that they were like, oh, he plays electric guitar. And that's like something I've been kind of keeping to myself for years because mm-hmm. I didn't have an outlet for it. And this band kind of gave me that opportunity. And I think people are starting to see that there's a lot of electric guitar playing in me that no one really knows about. So, mm-hmm.
Now, James, do you play electric or acoustic on stage?
On stage, I play electric guitar.
Okay.
This has been my tried and true. This is Susie. I've been playing Susie for a good minute now. But the guitar I play on stage was actually Sam's donation. He picked it up and was like, hey, this is a band guitar. And I was like, okay, cool. It's... Epiphone hollow body. It's got the P90s in it.
It's red like James's hair.
Absolutely.
I can't help but notice. Doesn't he remind you, Dan, of Jim Peterick? Jim's purple, but
does,
you're red.
Yeah, you're the red version of Jim Peterick.
I'll take that. Like, I'm fine with that moniker. Like, that's great.
It's a very cool style. I like that.
Let's talk quickly about the record. We're going to play something. I still call them records. I don't care. I'm old.
Records.
CD, EP. We're going to play a cut off of this called The Bite.
Yeah.
Tell me a little about the recording. Is this the one that you did with Colin?
No. This,
no.
This
okay.
was done at... Oh, where was this? This was in Goshen?
No, it wasn't Goshen. It's actually in Granger, Indiana.
Granger.
Okay.
Another GC.
Studio called Resonant okay. Sound. It was a good friend of mine, another Jeff. We have a lot of Jeffs
so
musicians
Jeffs.
In our life. But anyways, he recorded it, and our good friend Connor O'Toole mixed and mastered the whole project. And he has his own mixing studio called Standing Room Only out of South Bend.
Okay.
So between the four of us, the two of them who helped kind of produce and engineer the album and do all the behind-the-scenes work. And we had a special guest come in, Sam Kay, who's in a local band, La Locura, and a number of other groups. So between that, it was just, you know, a small project we kind of did in a basement, but we had some good gear and great vibes, and you know, we just wanted to get in a room and actually record and see what we could do, and that's what this project
is. And this is a three-song EP. Did you only do the three songs, or are you holding back?
It's just the three for now.
Okay.
More to be released in the future, but that's all we've got for the time being.
And they're available online at the website, right?
They're available
for downloading, as well as the physical disc.
I believe it's just the physical disc right now.
Okay.
I don't think we have it set up for online downloads yet. We'd prefer to. We're gonna put them up on Spotify and other like retail services at some point in the future to just kind of keep. I personally like the physicality of discs, like something you can put in a CD player, something you can sign, you know, like it's cool.
Many of your generation are now streaming and downloading.
Yeah, right. I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a Spotify premium account.
Like, I was going to say.
It's useful. Yeah,
Sammy's the business guy over here. He's going to steer you that way.
We'll cave eventually, but it's something about like the getting people to come to the show to get the EP, kind of the incentive of that.
Mm-hmm.
While it's still fresh and new, we're just doing that for a little bit. But it will be available online to download.
Well, we got a song called The Bite. Do you want to tell us a little bit about The Bite before we play it?
It started as one of Sammy's songs. It was literally about a dog.
That would bite
you
a lot.
Okay.
And never bit me, but bit everyone else in the family pretty much.
And we, as a band, we kind of turned it into the... like a political sentiment about like biting as a social gesture, as opposed to, you know, the bite of a dog. It'll show in the lyrics.
All right, let's do it. This is The Bite. This is off the brand new EP, which is Hello, My Name is James Neary and the Bevy Blue.
Yes, you see the writing on the wall. Hey, you, yes, you don't blame me for the fall. We've seen it all before. We've believed it all before. Still climb.
Music, new music, new recording from James Neary and the Bevy Blue, based out of Michiana area, some in Michigan, some in LaPorte, and playing in Michigan, Three Oaks, coming up on the 19th of August, a couple weeks from now. Interesting song there. I like, Jeff called it, what, the Hawaiian Bar Mitzvah?
Hawaiian Bar Mitzvah song, yes.
It's, there's so many textures and styles in there. It's, again, hard to describe. How do you come up with that? How long did it take to write that song?
That a lot of our songs happen, like, at the drop of a hat, and that was one of those. Sam was like, oh, yeah, I found this song, and this is, I called it The Bite because it was about my dog, and just played the chords from that in kind of a different style. Mm-hmm. And then it was, you know, hold on, play those chords for a minute, and, you know, busted out the notebook, had some lyrics, and after a couple of run-throughs and iterations, the song basically existed.
It sounds like it's complex. I mean, I can't believe it came together that fast. And, like, what, rehearsal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't take long at all.
It was like a 15-minute process, really. to be fair, that the riff of the song came from a classical piece that I wrote a while ago. It was a little passage that I liked. It was groovy. It was like, this by itself stands alone. And we would just kind of, I think I brought it to the band, and me and the drummer would play it, and James one day was like really paying attention, was like, what is that? And just said, you know, go keep playing it. Basically be my loop machine. That's what me and the drummer did. And 10, 15 minutes later, he starts singing pretty much, you know, what you're hearing. I mean, there's been some changes. It's been improved since we recorded it, but
the skeleton.
How long ago did you record this? I mean, this is just released recently.
Yeah,
we just released it May 19th. So we were recording, in February and
so this
March.
Is all recorded this year. This is all really brand new.
All brand new.
Okay. Now, when you're on stage, you're going to be performing at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks on Saturday, August 19th, headlining that show. What can people expect? Now, we're hearing a little snippets of what you're doing. What is a full James Neary and the Bevy Blue show about?
A full Bevy show is dynamic. I kind of pride our ability to have really high highs and really low lows and to bend and flex everything in between. We want, like, full energy, like, blazing guitar solos, almost cacophony, and we'll, you know, take the bottom out and come all the way back to real sparse chords and, you know, real weak vocals just to, like, in terms of statements, I don't think dynamics are used often enough. And as a band, we just kind of fall into it. I tell people about this all the time. We were just idly jamming one time and had kind of a natural build of energy, and there was no eye contact, no, like, musical cues, like a drum fill coming. There was, like, we were just at the highest high, and I was looking down at the guitar, starting to, like, get my effects ready because we all just kind of felt it coming, and everyone with no signal, with no, like, ability to know otherwise, no eye contact, we all just, like, simultaneously dropped down into, like, a really spacey, ethereal, like, total mood shift. And it was, like, at that moment, I knew that, like, we didn't need words. There was absolute chemistry. And in that pursuit, what you get at our show is four dudes having a really good time playing what I like to think is really good music.
Now, Jeff and Sammy, when you're on stage, do you look to James to kind of get your cues at all? To know when he's going to be doing something off the wall or different? Or
Well, Jeff is a seasoned pro and music teacher, so I think he kind of has all the cues in his head. I definitely rely on James for cues and stuff. Okay. I'm always looking up and, you know, what measure is it? But I know that lyric's coming or that look is coming. So there is a lot of visual cues. The drummer is, to go with what James is saying, very dynamic. He makes some big facial expressions that kind of, you know, allow us to know what's going on next.
Because it seems like every night the songs are a little different, the way you're talking.
Definitely, yeah. There's definitely a little bit of improv going on. Like we said, we want to improvise on the dynamic. We want to feel the room. We want to feel the energy. We want to play what the music that people in the room want to hear. And I think as a musician on stage, you get so much energy from the audience. And I think our band really can take that energy and give it back to them. And that's what's special to me about this group.
So what fills out the set? Obviously, you're headlining. It's a 75, 90-minute show. Mm-hmm. I know you've got three songs right here that I've heard. Yes. What fills out the rest of the show? Are you playing new stuff that has not been recorded yet? Are you doing any kind of covers? I mean, what's the show entail?
It's a handful of cover material, just cool songs that we all like that we can either, like, stay true to the original or that we can, like, totally turn on its head and make new and interesting.
Give me an example.
We do a cover of Don't Want to Fight by Alabama Shakes, which is kind of a not traditionally male-sung song because there's really high vocals in there.
Which you can hit. We heard that already.
Yes, that I can do. I do my best. And I think at our last show it was that and Thrill Is Gone. Mm-hmm. And we just kind of gave everyone a solo, found a way to incorporate it. Everyone on stage that night got, you know, one full chord rotation.
How do you play Thrill Is Gone? You're talking about B.B. King,
yes,
right?
Yep.
How do you do that and bring something new to it without, like, upsetting the traditionalists?
That's
not a song you mess with, really.
It's true. That's the beauty of it is we were able to, like, keep the structure.
Uh-huh.
But we all, like, as a group of musicians, just kind of have our own, like, vibe and feel, even when we're, like, adhering to what would be traditionally, like, the timings and the chord structure. We still have our own kind of, like, funk to it, I guess.
Okay.
And then in terms of soloing, you know, it's just whatever you want to let it rip. That's your moment to just shine and say whatever you want to say. And, you know, everyone that night had something beautiful to say. It was great.
Where was that show at?
That was at Vegetable Buddies.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, do you have any other shows coming up besides the one on August 19th at this time?
We do. We have a couple. They're private house shows.
Okay.
So they're not.
So you're available for that.
Yeah. So we have. Yeah. We're pretty much trying to stick to venues kind of like the Acorn and Vegetable Buddies, rooms that are listening rooms and music first, not necessarily music second or third, or just part of what you're getting that
night.
Not
where you're in
the
background while someone's playing foosball.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, house parties and certain private shows are perfect for that. They're music enthusiasts, small groups who want to sit there and hear us.
Do you guys do a lot of coffee houses? Because coffee houses and microbreweries seem to be places now that don't want to hear Brown Eyed Girl.
Right.
They
want
to hear originals. Yeah. And a lot of my original music friends are playing craft breweries because they're popping up everywhere. And these newer, eclectic coffee houses because the audience comes for that.
Right.
Absolutely.
And it's a millennial type crowd. But some of us old geezers still go to them.
Right.
You know, and we can appreciate that too.
Mm-hmm.
So are you finding a dynamic in that kind of room as opposed to a club or concert hall?
I typically take up the coffee house and brewery shows just as a solo. I've been, particularly the Union Coffee House in Buchanan has been treating me super well for basically as long as I've been trying to make it as a working musician. But we as a band haven't done the coffee house bit yet.
Yeah,
Not opposed.
I think from the business side of things, we like to think about a lot of, like you said, they're popping up everywhere, these breweries and coffee houses. And that also means there's lots of bands available playing these shows every week all the time. We're trying to make our shows a little, like, you can't see us every week at this coffee house.
So that's intentional, then?
That's intentional.
Okay.
You're
making every show a special event.
Special occasion. If you don't come, you might not see us for a while. That being said, when we are on the road and we're going to be touring, we're going to be playing microbrews in small places. But that's expanding our fan base and going to new places. But we're trying to avoid doing that
locally.
Here at home, yeah. We don't want to overplay the market where we're, you know, that's home base.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of the tour, geographically speaking, how far out are you going and what kind of...
We're
going
to kind of stick to Michigan, Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana for now, for this mm-hmm. year and next year, and that's kind of our main focus. If we can keep doing what we're doing here at home and build that into Michigan, build that into parts of Illinois, start bleeding into Chicago, you know, a few stops over in Ohio, I think at that point we'll be... Kind of have the ball rolling and
okay.
start expanding more and start
Will
looking
it be
to go.
Road trips, per se, where you go out for 2 or 3 weeks, or are these weekend dates that you can drive to? Because I don't know if any of you guys have real day jobs. Or
we're going to be doing both of those,
okay.
I believe. So we're starting small. We're going to do little 3-4 day tours where we can just go away for a weekend and, you know, kind of get some shows under our belt. We are still a new band, yep. kind of freshly doing things. Mm-hmm. But the full intention is, yeah, if we're on the road for a month, we're going to be on the road for a month. We do have obligations at home. Our drummer has a job. Jeff is a new father. You know, I also do work for other bands as well. So, but a lot of that can be managed with good time management.
Mm-hmm.
And we are all open to that, and we have all come to an agreement of how we want to kind of push forward. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of shows, touring, and big things in the future for us.
Yeah, we are talking with James Neary, Jeff Topp, and Sammy Lane Tuthill. And they are James Neary and the Bevy Blue, minus Dakota, who's not here, Dakota Morgan on drums. You can catch them on Saturday, August 19th, the Acorn Theater, just across the state line, Three Oaks, Michigan. A wonderful venue. If you've never been there, I do recommend that you at least see a show there. And this would be a great one to see. We have a little time left, and I want to remind everybody they can get online to keep up with the band at James Neary and thebevyblue.com, and you'll find music. You can get the music there. You can find the dates. There's some great videos here as well. Let's play another song. What do you want to play?
Sure thing. This is an original tune that's not on the EP. It will be released somewhere down the line, sooner rather than later. This song is called Luna.
I know why I love the moon so much. No centers for orbit, craters only consequence. Fill up my sky when the cold walk just has to come. Only cosmic friends end up heaven sent. That's why I'm wishing on you. I'm here waiting on you to come around. Patron saint of my skies, leave me better than when I started. Sleep my days, keep my nights, and I'm all yours. In all my years, I have never known such a sun. But I know you don't shine on your own. So I'm here wishing on you. I'm here waiting on you. Come around. I know why I love the moon so much. Not enough in this world you can take when you go. On a midnight drive, just to save my soul. I don't know where I'm going, but I know I'm not alone. That's why I'm wishing on you. to come around. Only move my lips to make a sound. Leave the air pregnant for some cold reply. Got me all dressed up, I got nowhere to go. I'm just waiting for an answer from an empty sky. That's why I'm wishing on you. I'm still waiting on you. I'm here wishing on you. And I'll keep waiting on you. Please, 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 please come around. Come around, come around.
All right. That's Luna. That's brand new stuff. James Neary and the Bevy Blue. And that is going to come out when? When are you going to record that?
The recording is happening.
Okay.
The release date is soon.
Okay, very good. Now, are you guys, when you record new songs, are you going to compile them into a full album? Is that the game plan? I see a lot of artists starting to do that now. They release two or three things, and then they take the collection and make a full album.
We've, specifically, I have kind of a like an arc that I see us following.
Okay.
We've got three EPs that are going to happen sequentially, and then after the third EP, it's going to take... You know, we're going to take a good chunk of time and we're gonna make an album, but not specifically of just those songs. We want to take one song from each EP.
Okay.
Reimagine them a little bit, maybe like update them.
Let
to
them
how
breathe
we're
a little bit on stage.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
All right.
And the rest of the album is going to be new stuff, more mindfully written for the like storytelling device of a full album.
All right. We've been listening tonight to the music of Sammy and James and Jeff and Dakota. They are James Neary and the Bevy Blue, collectively. And August 19th, Saturday night, Acorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan. Find out more at jamesnearyandthebevyblue.com. All their dates and music and videos are there. And gentlemen, thank you for being part of the show.
Thanks for having us, Tom.
Jeff, we're going to get you back, and we're going to talk about your stuff, too.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Adios. Thanks for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio.